This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
But whenever Cutlass had the heel turn of just doing, like, worship albums, I just had to pull that parachute, man. It was bad.
How does that even work?
You are my strong tower! Fortress when I'm weak!
Oh, no.
Oh, your word is good, holy. Your face is all I see.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't know what's a bigger victory for just general Kansas City sports fans, the fact that the Chiefs put up 40 points and thoroughly defeated the Raiders, or the fact that we get to talk to Kent Swanson 2 weeks in a row. Kent, it's like Christmas. It's not yet, but it feels like it because you're here again.
The Chiefs are back, baby. Everything's right with the world. Yeah, no, it's an absolute pleasure to be on with you, man. I very much missed this.
Yeah.
This time that we've had together, and it's good to just get on here and talk like 90% something that's not Chiefs related.
Yeah.
And then get like a final comment in right before you send me off.
I kind of feel like you just gave away like the Coca-Cola secret formula to everybody just now. So like I'm a little bit worried that now that we're going to get a whole bunch of RC Colas just popping up around the world because you just revealed the secret formula. But it's also, you know, you're not wrong about any of it. And so I can't be like, oh, actually, you forgot an ingredient. And I guess it's kind of that. It's pretty simple.
You can try to replicate, but you're never going to succeed. And like that,
wow.
RC is proof.
Wow.
I mean, like, you can't replace the chemistry that we have on air for 30 minutes a week.
Do you think the secret ingredient in Krabby Patties is crab? Or do you think it's something else?
I mean, it doesn't look like... I mean, aesthetically, I cannot see how there's crab in that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like, I mean, it just, I know that's a really very definite answer there, but like, I don't know. It looks like a hamburger.
Right. But so here's the other thing you mentioned with what you just said. Now my brain's jogging here. Now I'm thinking. Now I'm on a little hamster wheel inside my head. And I'm wondering, I've never seen a sea cow. Like, it's got, isn't every form of life in SpongeBob sentient? So like, if it is made out of meat, it was made out of something sentient, right?
I mean, you would think, which is that cannibalism for them?
It's,
like, how does that work?
I mean, it's starting to turn towards a little bit of a horror angle of like, if you cut through the entire history of SpongeBob and wanted to make a supercut hour and a half long horror movie about figuring out what's in the Krabby Patty and then just sort of stitch together the fact that everyone's alive and again sentient, I think you could do that because I don't know what the alternative is other than maybe it's like a plant-based sort of thing, seaweed burger, but it's pink.
I mean there's no sentient being that is just like kelp. Kelp's not walking around on the show, right? Like, I'm not as well versed in SpongeBob as I was 10 years ago, but like,
I also haven't watched it recently. I'm wondering if they've introduced. No, you know, and you know what? I've Googled SpongeBob kelp, and I have seen a screen grab here of kelp, a kelp shake, and also of kelp jerky. So maybe it's kelp. Yeah. Oh, Kelpo is the cereal. Yeah. These are all SpongeBob kelp based products. So maybe it's kelp based.
So this was always just a very progressive show that was promoting veganism.
Yeah,
is what we're. Yeah, okay, that's the subliminal nature of. Okay, it all makes sense now. Perfect. Okay.
The main character is a sentient talking sponge, and like it's very hard to get lower in terms of life forms, just with how we as human beings think of them. It's hard to get lower than a sponge. It's like, hey, we use a different artificial version of this animal to clean our genitals. Like, it's hard to get lower on the totem pole than a sponge.
Yeah, it is. And probably harder to get lower than the conversation and where this conversation just divulged to.
Are you a loofah guy, a sponge guy, a washcloth guy, a bar of soap guy? What's your strategy?
I am a liquid body wash guy with my hands.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows.
Yeah, that's typically where I end up also. But occasionally you got to get a nice lather, you know. I'm open to alternative methods. If someone this is the fan interaction portion of the show. You can text your vote in to 810-810, and you can vote A for sponge, B for washcloth, C for loofah, D for none of the above. I don't think that's a real text number, but boy, it'd be pretty cool if it was. I think that's a new feature. That could have been the way this conversation started, but right before we began, you you mentioned to me that you read at your child's kindergarten today, and I just want to know, I didn't let you explain anything else so we could get to hear. What does that mean? What did you do today, and how did it go?
Okay, so they have this thing for my kids' class where you can sign up to be like the mystery reader for the class every week. And I decided I wanted to do it. I thought it'd be a lot of fun, surprise my kid. I'm just going to tell you, I've done a lot of live programming over my life.
Yeah.
Now, in the last 5 years, I've done live radio. I've done, live, streaming and podcasts and all that good stuff. And I've never been more nervous than getting in front of 25-year-old to read a book, and it was fun. Like, don't get me wrong, and like, look, I brought my A game. Like, I had the A call sheet. I had Andy Reid's A script call sheet going. You know, I was calling the good plays. I pulled the Cat in the Hat out.
Yeah,
and the Cat in the Hat, if you get good at the Cat in the Hat, it's the closest thing a suburban dad can have to bars.
Yep, 100%.
Like, it is like, if you get in that rhythm, you're on one, right?
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. Like, my kid didn't know I was coming, mm-hmm. and I had a mask on when I walked in all the kids and teachers.
Because it was your Insane Clown Posse mask that you wear every time you go out in public.
Oh yeah, sorry. Thank you for clarifying.
You're
that.
Welcome.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
But no, my kid didn't recognize me. We're all wearing masks. And he did, like, it's supposed to be like a surprise. Hey, your dad's here. And he didn't know who I was at first.
Oh, no.
He looked at me. He's like, and so I kind of like pulled my mask down. I didn't know if I was supposed to pull it down a little bit. Oh, okay. It's my dad. All right, cool. So, yeah, but he was really hyped and we had a lot of fun. But I was nervous to do this, like, more nervous than I was to talk to you right now on, on the airwaves or whatever.
You didn't walk in and have somebody go like, "That's Ken Swanson from KC Sports Network. I read the Substack." That didn't happen of any of the 5-year-olds.
They're not the demo that we're really targeting right now. Although we are targeting schools, I guess, a little bit, because we're trying to help support schools with KCSN. By the way, where we're feeding it forward every Friday, and Jeff Allen and his wonderful Cookie Society cookies down in Texas are coming up to Kansas City every single week. And 100 are going to school every week, which has been a lot of fun, and it's been supporting a area of our lives that are very much we really appreciate them, especially being a dad now. Mm-hmm. But what I should have done is and handed out KCSN cards to all. Should have put them in all their cubbies.
Yeah,
just for their parents. I need to network better is what I'm learning here.
Yeah. I also need to do a better job of telling people who you are in the rare case that perhaps this is their first time listening to this show. It's Kent Swanson of the KC Sports Network, kcsn.substack.com. You can go to kcsportsnetwork.com. The YouTube channel is cranking out content. They have a whole podcast network covering not just the Chiefs, but also local college stuff. And, I mean, just there's a billion things at this point. Go to kcsportsnetwork.com or go to the kcsn.substack.com URL, and you will find things that you will very much enjoy. We're going to talk to Kent about Chiefs stuff in particular, but KCSN already growing like a, I don't know, like a sponge. Full circle. Do you have your copy of The Cat in the Hat? Or if not, can you just have that ready for next week and so you can just give a few of your bars on the show?
Yeah. If you had it, yeah, I'll come prepared.
Yeah, just bring it.
There's I didn't even read half the pages because it's just ingrained in my memory at this point. But I am in no – the emotional toll that reading that book today took on
yeah.
me. I don't feel like dropping bars on 810 right now. I'm sorry.
No. I want to give you time to be emotionally prepared for that. But I would also like to be able to tease the audience with that for next time that we can be expecting –
Here's the next time I come in to do this,
ooh.
I'm gonna bring it, and I'm gonna make you like beatbox behind me.
Okay. I'm just gonna go boots and cats and boots and cats and boots, and that'll be all you get.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's very fitting. Boots and cats. I mean, yeah. it's a cat in a hat. So yeah. we're good. The synergy here is outstanding.
Cats and hats and cats and hats. And cats. That's just a little bit different, but I think it still works.
I think it works.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think we can make it work.
Okay. Well, now it's also meaning work for me, which is really upsetting because one of my favorite things to do is to ask other people to do work, and then I can just sit there and listen. But if that's a sacrifice I have to make this happen next time, I'll do it.
You absolutely do. You just do. I'm sorry.
How absolutely miserable has it been to be around former AES intern Tucker D. Franklin Esquire in the after the as we're calling it around here, the Tommy Townsend game?
Well, it's the
games,
the quarterback,
really, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, it is the quarterback controversy that we're experiencing now in the KCSN, you know, business side conversations. Like, he is very much pushing for Tommy Townsend behind the scenes. He wants to do a full article endorsing Tommy Townsend for QB1.
He ought to text Cliff Kingsbury. Like, since he couldn't get Shane Buechele off the practice squad, the Cardinals should try to make a move for Tommy.
Well, the good news is he's on the 53-man roster, so I'm not even going to dignify this joke with a technical response.
Yeah, it's past the trade deadline, too. Fine. All right. Fine. Continue talking about how there's a quarterback competition now, since we're being very serious all of a sudden.
I just can't believe how animated Tucker was when that happened, and the overwhelming analysis he was able to provide on the spot of the throwing form. It was so funny to watch. His eyes were so big. I mean, which, you know, his eyes were so big, and he was just like, he looks better this year. He's like, his stride has shortened. His arm pass has really gotten more efficient. I'm like, Tucker, this is a punter. How many times have you watched the singular pass of his career?
I mean, did he try to give you an answer to that? Because I bet that number is upsettingly high.
He didn't give a number, but he gave this smirk that, like, you could tell that it's more than he should have.
Yeah, that seems right. Well, look, I'm happy for the two people most impacted by all of this, which is both Tommy Townsend and Tucker, because.
Yeah, it's the budding bromance between those two. Like, this could be the buddy cop movie of the summer in the off season. I'm really hoping we can make something work there.
I know BJ thinks he's hot bleep with all of the people he knows and all of the connections and all of that. But I'm gonna call him a fraud until there's some until I don't know, Long Bombs with Tucker Franklin and Tommy Townsend is a podcast on the KC Sports Network. Like, that's when you guys will have fully arrived.
Yeah, give us like 6 months, and we'll see where we're at, and maybe we could give Tucker that platform. I mean, I'm sure Tommy will say yes to Tucker because they're just such close friends,
right?
And just, you know, I mean, they talk to each other on a first name basis all the time, of course.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, go punch yourself with Tommy Townsend and Tucker Franklin. There, even if it's just a one-off video series, something needs to come from that. On a content basis. Do you want to talk about the quarterback that is probably going to lose his job to Tommy Townsend shortly?
Yeah, we can talk about that bum, I guess.
Yeah. He got way more, much higher usage rate than Tommy Townsend did, so I wouldn't even look at things like the touchdowns and the yardage and all of that. But even though he's not also a good punter, which, again, Tommy Townsend is a multi-tool player, whatever. I'm just saying, Coach Reed, if you're listening, I know you are. But Mahomes was still, nonetheless, pretty good against the Raiders. Are the Chiefs fixed? Or were they ever broken, Kent?
Yes, they had a little bit of brokenness to them. I'm not going to say that they were broken. I'm not going to say Mahomes was broken, because I think that's unfair.
I do too.
I think he had a really rough stretch there for a few games. But I mean, I think that was what we saw this week was closer to what we came in expecting to see week over week and what we've come accustomed to seeing near week over week with this football team. And the problem was we weren't seeing it because we're spoiled little Chiefs fans now that, you know, don't know what to do with themselves because we went from never having a guy to having literally the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the roller coaster can kind of be a little bit, you know, maybe bigger for us than we're used to. But I think you saw it the week before against the Packers. I think the Packers game wasn't as bad as people want to paint it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, there was rightfully some people supporting and kind of, you know, defending Mahomes' performance in that game. But he really put a lot together this week, and the swag was undoubtedly back. You know, that fist pump we talked about against the Packers, It really meant something, you can tell. So we'll see if they can carry it over this week. I've been touting this hashtag no loss November thing. And really what it comes down to is if they can get out of this month undefeated, that means they've beat a lot of good football teams. Mm-hmm. If they beat the, I believe, one seed in the NFC right now, after winning the last three games, we get to go back to being insufferable Super Bowl favorites where we can do no wrong and have that swag back the rest of the year, I think, in Kansas City.
I want to get into some of the specifics of the play calling and in the story that you have right now at kcsn.substack.com. You can go sign up over there right now. In the first 15 and some of the stuff they set up and pulled back later, I want to get into some of those things we will arrive at eventually. But whenever you looked back at what the Raiders did defensively, and Mahomes talked about this a little bit in his presser today, which I thought was very interesting, kind of making note that, like, the Raiders weren't playing as much traditional too high safety shells or whatever, but that a lot of the – I think the phrase was, like, the purpose of their defense is to, in what they were running and the ins and outs of it, he said, were kind of to get back to often to two safety looks. And obviously that's been sort of the thing that's gotten a lot of the hype around the Chiefs' offensive struggles. It seemed like the Raiders were doing some things differently than other teams had done so far this year. But also the Chiefs have been good offensively against lots of different defensive fronts over the last several years. So how much of that game do you look at and you go, oh, man, the Raiders misfired on their game plan. How much of it is just the Chiefs were on again?
I think it's a little bit of both for sure. There were some a little bit more middle field close coverage, and the Chiefs were doing a good job of attacking that. And you know, they definitely did take full advantage of that. But, it wasn't like they didn't have success against too high either.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like that the Raiders didn't play too high at all or, you know, anything like that. They were doing a lot of different things, mixing some stuff in the middle of the field. The Chiefs beat anything that the Raiders tried to run out of. And I kind of talked about it a little bit this week. I think the intent for the Raiders was our pass rush needs to get home and we're going to be good at what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some teams have been more apt to adapt their scheme to say, we're going to stick two safeties at the goal line. I don't care if you're 60 yards out, we're just going to let you play everything in front of you. Right. And so, you know, the Raiders maybe didn't adapt some of their coverages, you know, the way that other teams had, and the Chiefs definitely made them pay, which is a good thing to see. It's like, it's just proof that, like, you know, teams are going to be, you know, teams are going to hope to make this team drive down the field against too high a lot. And the Chiefs are going to have to beat it. They're going to have to be short. You know, they have to play the short game extremely well. And they're going to have to not fumble the football in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Was that the end of your sentence? It felt like there was a comma there and I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, there wasn't.
Are you sure?
Do you want me to keep talking about it?
No, not at all. In fact, I'd like to ask you another question. Thank you for letting me back in. Because a lot of the things that have been discussed are some of those self-inflicted wounds that the Chiefs have kept stubbing their toe on and everything. But also, and again, we're inching closer to the focus of your most recent piece up on the Substack. But the play calling in general, I have now heard talked about by enough people that I very much respect for me to think that maybe there was something else going on there. The Chiefs have never been, really Andy Reid has never been very forthright about how the play calling all works. The thing that stuck in my head is that Reid typically calls plays to the enemy into the huddle, I think is like maybe the baseline for that. But obviously there's been times over the years where you've seen what appear to be different shifts. Sometimes it looks like the enemy is calling the plays himself. And against the Raiders, it seemed like Andy Reid was doing a lot of looking at his play sheet. So what did you make of that? I don't know if you have a theory about who's calling plays or whatever, but even just the sort of stylistic choices that were being made over the course of the game. We can talk about the Byron Pringle touchdown and how it got set up earlier. Was any of that unique to the Chiefs from this season? Or again, is that just another matter of like, well, it started working again, but they've been doing a similar process through the first nine games of the year too?
Well, I don't think setting plays up is anything that is not done for, you know, the Jets play calling or anything like that. I mean, everyone's doing that. I think there definitely seemed like a different personality to the play calling this week, if that's a way I can say it. And the timing and the instincts. Like, play calling is an art. It's not scientific. It's not just we're going to get this list of, you know, 100 plays, 150 plays, and, you know, we're going to choose. You know, choosing off the menu and choosing when you order is very, very valuable of a skill set. And it really did seem like there was some personality change to how the game was called. The instincts were a lot better. And, you know, you can look into that however you want, and I think that it's justifiable to at least question it. You know, was Andy Reid a little bit more hands-on? You know, I wonder if, you know, we forget that Andy Reid, like, went to the hospital in week three of this season, and we don't talk about it. And, you know, was part of his adjustment to his – was there a lifestyle adjustment where maybe he was hands-off in some areas? You know, as he's building, as the call script is, or as the game sheet, you know, game script's getting put together. Like, you know, maybe he couldn't be as hands on in some areas as means to manage some of his health issues. I don't want to speculate too far, but you wonder, because there did seem to be a little bit less personality in the way that, you know, you're used to seeing him call. And I think, you know, the instincts on the screen game were so good this week, and. You know, they did a good job setting some things up later in the week or later in the game, and there was a lot of really, you know, they really had their hands they had their hands on the pulse. So I wonder if the guy pulling the trigger, maybe there was something to be said there. But to also defend the whole concept, it is a whether or not Andy Reid's the play caller or not, it is a truly collaborative effort. Like when he says that they're all collaborating. It's true, but I think Andy Reid signs off on everything that goes in that call sheet.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Was that the end of your answer? It sounded like it was. I'm pretty confident on that one.
I'm just going to start using the word period at the end of every comment I have here, just moving forward.
That I think that might work just from like a sports radio sort of gas bag standpoint.
Period.
Yeah, so do that. Yeah, try that out next time, because I'm guessing that by the end of your answer, I'll have forgotten that that was going to happen, and it's really going to catch me off guard. So I like the way that you framed and just absolutely hit the Jets with a stray on the setting things up front. You're right. It's nothing that only inventive teams are doing. However, I like the example of the Byron Pringle touchdown that's, again, in the piece in the Substack right now, because it's always – I at least for myself, I hear it get talked about all the time, but there's not always, hey, here's this exact same looking formation run a couple of times, and then here is where it's a run, and here's where it's a touchdown to Byron Pringle. I like the juxtaposition of that. Can you walk us through a little bit of what it was that caught your eye in those two plays and how the Chiefs did successfully set up that touchdown with something they did earlier in the game?
Well, yeah, and I mean, a lot of times there is a lot of plays that, you know, a lot of times it's in the first 15 that they'll kind of build off of some of the looks and stuff, you know, that they kind of show the early game script, the opening script, very much, you know, it's a very rigid kind of call sheet except for special situations. And they use those to kind of set up, hey, we're going to line up in this formation, we're going to motion exactly, you know, we're going to motion this way. They'll bring the same look, the same motion and formation and action, but then there's always something to build off of it. So, you know, with late in the game, what the Chiefs did is, like, you know, they motioned Noah Gray in, they ran a toss play. It did nothing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they left the cornerback unblocked, and they had Darrell Williams one-on-one with a corner on the edge, and the corner brought him down for a gain of nothing. But the Chiefs and Byron Pringle, he ran this little his blocking path, the path to get inside and block was kind of inside. So he kind of, you know, moved inside a little bit, kind of up the number or up the hash. And the Chiefs did a wonderful job of utilizing, you know, the everything that toss play presented to set up a beautiful pass play out of it, a play action pass. So they faked the toss. It looked like Byron Pringle was coming inside the same way that he blocked the first play. But then he, you know, runs to the corner of the you know, the corner pylon, and Mahomes drops the ball off of play action to him. And so, you know, everything looked identical all the way up to the ball not going in Darrell Williams' hands, even Byron Pringle's path, and Patrick Mahomes pulled up and threw a pass to to Byron Pringle against Too High, by the way. It was against the Too High structure.
That can't be right.
I know, but there's some teams that can set stuff up. There's some teams that can utilize everything about a play the way that Andy did. Mm. And Andy is very good at building off of certain looks, and he's probably one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL at it, period.
It worked. I knew you were done, but it also surprised me. So that's, I think, fully landed. I was on, all right, so Kale finish this answer, and then I'll ask about that Tyreek Hill touchdown, period. What? What did I miss? Why was that so aggressive? Another play in this piece you took a closer look at was the touchdown play that capped off the Chiefs' first touchdown drive. Tyreek Hill running a little shake route. Now, look, I'm going to say this as I say every time. This is going to be more useful for you, the listener, if you also, after hearing this, go read the story and then also watch Kent's little video breakdown. I love the little video breakdowns. I know I've told you this. I've told Craig this. I might have even told Matt this at some point. I really like the little video breakdowns. But you can go see all this in the piece. But I also like this because I didn't catch that route live the first time. I did not see the specific way that Tyreek Hill became basically unguardable. And I also think it's super interesting because Tyreek Hill, if you go 30,000-foot view, he'll disappear. Because he is not a typical red zone threat in anyone's mind. He is not the big-bodied target that stands in the end zone and then you just throw the ball up and they go get it. And yet, he's been one of their most effective weapons in the red zone. And I thought this was a pretty good snapshot of why that can be.
Well, it's also a representation of wherever you're at in the field, it's really difficult to give him space, and it's really difficult to give him space one-on-one.
Mm.
And, you know, I think, you know, the Raiders probably looking at it, they're just hoping that, you know, because they're at a condensed portion of the field that, you know, Mahomes and Hill aren't going to be able to connect, you know, and they're willing to give up some of these outside the number type throws. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill, you know, the Raiders played an off coverage in the red zone, and Tyreek Hill made him pay. And he ran a kind of a – it's a double move, but it's because Tyreek Hill's got that explosiveness, the threat of his vertical ability, you know, the ability to change direction so well that, you know, he turned, off coverage in the red zone and inside the 10-yard line into a wide-open touchdown. That's really hard to do. He created a ton of space, and the threat of him working across the field, to which the Chiefs did later, later in the game,
mm-hmm.
they worked across the field with him. You know, his ability to hit landmarks anywhere on the field is so terrifying that I think it stresses people out. But he kind of built off of all of that and was able to kind of get open on the front pylon. And credit to Mahomes, the trust with Mahomes too, that you know Mahomes dropped a ball right there perfectly for him too.
Mm. Period.
Period.
This was a stat tweeted out by Adam Leviton, I'm going to say. Feels like a pretty good guess. He tweeted, Chiefs finally demoted Mecole Hardman. Wide receiver routes run on 50 Mahomes dropbacks on Sunday. Tyreek Hill, 41. Byron Pringle, 34. DeMarcus Robinson, 23. Josh Gordon, 20. Mecole Hardman, 17. Marcus Kemp, 1. What do you make of this group now? We're just another step in, but you also got contributions and touchdown contributions from Byron Pringle, from Noah Gray in this game. Do you feel any differently about the quest for a third pass catcher today than you did this time last week?
I mean, it's still this committee, and you yep. don't feel great about the committee.
Yep.
I think I this is going to sound weird. I have hope for Josh Gordon still.
Yep.
I still have hope for Josh Gordon, and he's the ceiling to this group. So, you know, if he can go out and do something, that's going to be really valuable. But you know, I think it's going to be a week-by-week basis with this, you know, with the secondary-type pass catchers, the Byron Pringles, DeMarcus Robinsons, Mecole Hardmans, Noah Grays, all those guys. It's always going to be, you know, I think there's going to be games where one of them has a big game and one of them, you know, pops off and then one of them isn't seen for the rest, of, you know, for a week. And I think that's been happening already. It's just it kind of becomes more magnified when this team doesn't put up points. And you know, they need someone. There's always got to be someone that steps up, and it's just always you never know exactly who it's going to be, I don't think.
Do you have – I mean, I am in lockstep. I'm feeling also a little bit dumb of going, you know, maybe Josh Gordon's going to come around because it's a different situation than Odell Beckham going to the Rams and being able to play a few days after getting there and all that, because Josh Gordon literally got to Kansas City after not playing football for a while again.
Yep.
But when will you stop having hope for him as a contributor for this team?
When they start losing. And that sounds weird. That sounds like a weird statement. But, like, if they go on another losing stretch, we're going to start criticizing the Josh Gordon thing. But I think that, you know, there's always going to be something in the back of my mind says that he's capable of jumping into this, you know, group of contributors. Mm-hmm. And I think he's better than all these contributors that, you know, the guys we kind of just talked about. I think he's better than all these guys from an ability standpoint. I think, you know, I'm just always going to have some level of optimism, some level of belief that there's going to be a point at some point in the season, maybe it's towards the end of the year, where he gets involved and gets involved in a big way. I think you're kind of starting to see, you know, his snap count and his snaps are trending in a good direction. He had the most highest percentage of snap count and highest snaps in his time in Kansas City this last week against the Raiders. Now, he didn't get a touch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's coming. I think there's going to be some moments. And when Andy said it this week, you know, his time's coming, I really believe it. You know, there's too much ability. There's too much of a need here for them to not figure something out here at some point very soon that sees him, you know, becoming, you know, a legitimate piece to this. And, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, letting him kind of just get his feet underneath him. You know, I think he might be close to – I think he might still be under 100 snaps or right around 100 snaps here. So, you know, let's see where he's at in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And if they've won four games in a row, we'll say, hey, maybe Josh Gordon, you know, maybe he's not something you're banking on, but I think there's still a reason to have a little bit of hope and optimism.
I think you touched on it, at least one element of it just there, but in this, this sounds kind of like a trick question of some sort, but like, what is your actual best guess for why we haven't seen production there to this point?
Well, I mean, I think Mahomes has outstanding chemistry with a couple of his key players.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, you know, so I think there's two guys that are always going to eat up the targets, and they should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the screen game was pretty, you know, the screen game was going pretty good. So, like, you reduce the number of opportunities for some of these guys. Like, I don't think he's getting the Mecole Hardman touches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to get the DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle touches.
Right.
And, you know, I believe he out-snapped DeMarcus Robinson this week, right?
He had three fewer routes run on the dropbacks. He might have made that up on some run snaps. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I think there is starting to become more of a shift a little bit here. And I think, you know, there's going to be some opportunities, especially if, you know, I think he's a guy that can win outside the numbers. And, you know, against too high, that's an area that, you know, they call it the honey hole, the rail shot. Those are areas I think Josh Gordon can have a lot of success. And, you know, give him a shot there, a big physical guy. Like, I think that's another element that they can present at some point. Maybe they're holding it back a little bit. Who knows? But I think there's some areas of the field he can win in. I think, you know, the X receiver role is still much in play. The only thing, the only caveat with Josh Gordon is DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle are outstanding blockers, and Gordon has not always been about that life this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that's – it might even hold him back a little bit more from some opportunity.
How are you feeling about the Cowboys right now with everything that they're going to bring?
I mean, it's going to be a good game. And, you know, you're not going to get many more tests like this. I mean, we're talking about the one seed in the NFC. And the Chiefs have failed every single big test that they've had this year. Obviously, I mean, Jordan Love was, you know, the Jordan Love game was still a good win. I'm not going to discredit the win, but you know, this team has went toe-to-toe against legit Super Bowl contenders at full strength and failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is a big one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I think both offenses are going to score a lot of points. I think it's going to be a shootout. But I feel good. I feel good about where this team's at. I think they're figuring things out enough that, you know, they're going to pull this game out this week, and then I'm going to be an insufferable Patrick Mahomes stan where I'm going to be talking about the best team in the world and yada, 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 all that stuff.
We haven't talked about the defense at all, and you say it's going to be a shootout. So, is there skepticism? Are you a believer? Where are you on the Chief fence?
Oh, I'm buying a lot of what this team is putting down defensively, but they're also going up against an outstanding offense. It's more about how good of an offense that the Cowboys have. And, you know, that's really where my opinion comes from. You know, I think the defense is doing a lot of good things. They're trending in the right direction. I think they'll make enough plays, you know, to win this game on Sunday. But I'm not going to get too bent out of shape if Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and Kellen Moore, one of the better play callers in the National Football League, puts 30 on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna be discouraged. All I want out of this week is a win. Like, I don't care about style points. I don't care. Like, no, I don't. There's not a ton of narratives that I'm going to really worry about this week. I don't think if the Chiefs win, because just getting this victory heading into to the bye week is so massive for this team.
And let's say, I mean, not knowing the results of the Cowboys game, obviously, right now, if you had to put, you know, five Cookie Society cookies that were going to go to teachers if you subscribe to KCSN, or they would go into the trash can if you get this wrong, who wins the AFC West as we stand right now?
Oh, well, I don't know what the odds are, but I think it's Chiefs Sharpie it.
Which is just crazy. I was 99% sure that's what you were going to say. And just think about where we were 3 weeks ago. And some of these last few wins haven't even been particularly impressive. They have and this isn't even me preaching, like, caution or anything. I'm just kind of amazed that there was one huge dominant victory over the Raiders, and now it's like, oh, Sharpie, I think. Because the other teams have also obviously, you know, had their issues.
Yeah, I don't think – I get that. And, like, I think, you know, other teams have kind of come back to earth a little bit, specifically the Chargers.
Yep.
I mean, the Chargers have really – they've crashed hard.
Yep.
You know, they've lost three of their last four. They almost lost to the Eagles. And, I mean, you know, the Steelers – or they got the Steelers coming up. That's probably one of their – I mean, Bengals. They've got some easy games with a couple decent challenges here, one being the Chiefs. Like I said, Steelers, Bengals, there's some tougher games, but they've got an easy stretch here. I just think, you know, the Chiefs showing a pulse is really the difference.
Mm.
You know, they aren't the full reveal. The Chiefs may not be the full reveal of themselves, but I think we've seen enough recently to say this team's going to go out and do what they do against AFC West opponents and just you know, sweep them the rest of the year.
Period. That's what Kent Swanson
Period.
Says. If you want more from the man, you can go follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. You can check out everything that they do at KC Sports Network. KCSN.substack.com is where the writing happens. They've got the whole podcast network, including KC Lab with Kent and Matt and Craig. And, I mean, everything in video form coming in 2022. Tucker Franklin and Tommy Townsend, Go Punt Yourself. That's debuting somewhere in there. I'm not an executive producer, but I'd like to be an honorary producer of that just because, you know what? Tell BJ I want to be an executive producer of that because I came up with the concept and the name.
I think those terms are reasonable. I think, you know, we can come to some kind of agreement, period.
Period.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, fair.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Kent Swanson of KC Sports Network. And thanks to all of you who have enjoyed the show so far tonight, especially the... I'm telling you, man, look, I know that some of you are driving around in your cars. I, like, the Lebatard Show does some video streaming now, but I mostly listen on the podcast and everything. But the video watchers of this show definitely get the best stuff, because just now I have sat back down into my chair and... That segment started with me just, like, probably barely peeking up over the bottom third graphic because I was sitting down. It was still framed for when I was standing. A couple things here really quick from the Twitch, and then we're going to get the sad fans on Reddit. Lesbro Games on Twitch said, I see Pokemon, and they were looking at my screen because I just pre-ordered the digital version of Pokemon. I got these backwards all the time. Shining Pearl. That's
Beautiful
it.
Shining Pearl.
I have made my choice on the Pokemon remakes. Was that a 7, Rudy?
Yes.
Okay. So I've made my call. I like the legendary birds and they're exclusive. So I've gone Pearl for the new Pokemon game that's coming out. Rudy bought the double pack because he's
a crazy person. And then 1F457Z on Twitch, as a Dallas area KC fan, the sports radio down here has been a tough listen. Only seem to be two trains of thought. It'll either be a close game slash shootout that the Cowboys win, or else the Cowboys blow us out. First of all, that's the beauty of Twitch and all of our different places. You can watch us from Dallas, so thank you for doing that. I think it's interesting because we're probably doing that around here. The Cowboys have had a more successful season to this point. And yet we all saw the Chiefs beat the Raiders and kind of think that's the real Chiefs. It's fun. Let's hear more about the Chiefs and the Raiders. Raiders fans had to be bummed about that one, right?
And now, a list of things that Las Vegas Raiders fans said on Reddit. Looks like a home game for the Chiefs. Sad. I blame Leatherwood for this. Nice job, guys. Why even bother to cover their top receiver in the end zone? Great coverage. A sneak. What a concept. We went for that good old wet paper bag defense. Comment. That should be taunting on Kelsey. Look at him shaking his hips menacingly. Reply. So menacingly. I'm hurt and offended. Is it bad if I eat the whole large pizza and six wings or nah?
Nah.
Yo, this secondary is cheeks. Can we spread the ball out? Also, DC4 has the escapability of a dishwasher. Greg Olsen looking like 2016.
DC.
Big hole! Holding, you Chiefs look bad all year. We make them look amazing again.
Yeah.
SMH.
That's true.
Why the hell did Deshaun come to this trash-ass team?
That was pre-fumble, I have
fart
to imagine.
Noise.
Yeah, maybe that was the fumble.
Anything good on TV right now? I've already seen this rerun. Didn't have any beer for the day game. Set up my hookah, bought an awesome dinner, popped open a beer, put my feet up for this trash. Oh, baby Jesus, please stop them. I've never gone through so many emotions in 3 seconds. I want Oakland back. How's that Elvis impersonator covering running backs?
Which one?
This team has lost their home field advantage and identity when they moved to Las Vegas. They did keep the generational losing, though. That never seems to change. How the hell did we beat the Ravens?
Nobody's
is Yellowstone
good.
Any good?
My sister says
Chris
yes.
Collinsworth tips the valet a couple bucks and always says, don't spend it all in one place.
He does. Absolutely.
Next year is our year.
Oof.
Blacklist the Raiders from national television. I'm just sad. Carr's glad he can keep his annual February Cancun trip a tradition.
Yikes.
Look at them, smiling and it's pathetic. At this point, we'll be lucky if Carr doesn't decide to become a missionary after this game. At least we won't have another meltdown after starting 6-3 this year. Worst Raiders collapse since, checks notes, last year? Mahomes throws a one-yard pass completion. See, this is why he's the greatest quarterback. Nay, greatest athlete to ever live. I fantasize about him and Kelsey my wife while I watch, so I'm going to verbally suck their for the next 120 minutes. Oh, my God. Kelsey caught a two-yard pass on first down. Is he a Hall of Famer? Let's compare his stats to a receiver that played in the league with rules that didn't completely favor this offense. He's the best.
Yeah, Waller's okay.
Holy shit. Kelsey with a 30-yard catch. Oh, my dog, I want to sack him. It's games like these that wish we were even worse on par with the Lions. At least they don't have false hope of Super Bowl aspirations. Or seasons turn to after crazy
what?
Happens midway.
Did Raiders SMH. Fans have hopes of Super Bowl aspirations?
Season
this year?
Over. Blow it up. Start over. Again. It's crazy how everyone knows we have to use Waller. Except the f***ing team that has him. I hate being a fan. I've always wondered if it's physically possible to kick yourself in the balls. This team has showed me that you can, in fact, kick yourself in the balls.
Everyone try.
You gotta be real flexible.
I've seen peewee teams that play with more heart in order to get a plastic trophy and a pizza party than the Raiders did to take the lead in an NFL division.
I'd do a lot for a pizza party.
Remember when the Chiefs barely beat the Giants and everyone on the sub was acting like we were the king of the world?
Take
oh, how
shoe
things
off.
Have changed.
That makes it easier.
Well, we knew we were going to get dry f***ed by the refs after the lawsuit came out.
I would say
out.
It makes it harder.
I can
and
myself
now,
lower thigh.
The bronze medal.
Upper thigh.
Chris Collinsworth is the guy behind you in the movie theater who keeps asking super loud to whoever is next to him, Mahomes, what the main character said. And now the silver medal. Where are Al and Chris's emails? And now, the winner of things that Raiders fans said on Reddit. The autumn wind is a fart.
By the way, I forgot about the music bed being so long, so you have 2 minutes to wrap this up.
Oh, that makes more sense.
It's better.
I kind of want to continue the remake of The Autumn Wind here. Let's see. Keep this music up for me.
Yeah, I was just going to pull it down a little, but definitely playing it out through the end.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's see. Can I get the... I just need the full script. Oh, that you know it's an adaptation of another poem?
I did not.
The autumn wind is a fart, blustering in from sea. With losses in Vegas, he sweeps along, collapsing boisterously. His team is weather-beaten. His team is handily beaten. He wears these L's with a silver hat about his head. And draft classes straight from hell. It's a good poem. My favorite one.
Mike Mayock reads that to himself every night before he goes to bed.
He should. That should be, I think, his ringtone. If you call Mike Mayock, but he never answers because he listens to the whole thing. I think my favorite sad fan there was that absolute novel. And also a little editing, I think, from the Ghost of Beards to say, you know, Darren Waller's pretty good. Oh, Travis Kelce! Which, to be fair, I think is fair. Thanks to Kent Swanson, thanks to the Ghost of Beards for the sad fans, thanks to Rita Salazar on the side of the glass. This is the last AES of the week. I'm doing the program on Friday, a sporting show on Saturday, pregame 2, and postgame on Sunday. Is AES back on Tuesday next week?
We're both off.
We're both off. This is the last AES for a while. I'll talk to you mother bleepers in December. Bye, Mom!